So this Sunday, we begin Advent. It's a time of waiting and preparation for the holiest of nights. And our Advent theme this year is Calm and Bright, 200 Years of Silent Night. And that story goes that 200 years ago on Christmas Eve, St. Nicholas's church, their church organ was broken. And so the pastor began thinking outside the box, searching for a way to worship God through song, through music. And then what came into creation is the most recorded song in history. So something was broken, and then something was created. A door closed, another opened. Out of the void comes life. And then during Advent, perhaps most importantly, out of the darkness, comes a star so bright it leads us home. Episcopal priest Fleming Rutledge writes this about Advent. He says, Advent begins in the dark. It is not a season for the faint of heart. I thought that might make a good Christmas card. I wonder how people would receive it. In his book of contemplation, In the Shelter, poet and theologian Padraig O'Tooma, and I hope I'm saying that right, he asks the question, how do we say hello to here? That is, how do we live honestly in our own skins? How do we accept what's in front of us? How do we guard against numbness and denial and despair? And this week, I was perhaps a little too determined to say hello to here when a checkout person at Good Earth asked me how I was. Now, there was a time years ago when I started having fun with the checkout people at Trader Joe's. They would ask me the same question, how are you today? And I'd say, well, do you have an hour? And that would always get a chuckle, and that would be the end of it. But see, Good Earth, that store, has a very different vibe. People are a little more serious there than they are at Trader Joe's. They look you in the eyes, and they look you deeply and sincerely in the eyes. And because I've seen this same checkout woman now for months on my weekly run for produce, I decided to say hello to her. So when she said, how are you? I said, I'm mixed. And so she tilted her head as if to say, well, tell me more. So then I told her about my nephew, who's sick and will most likely die while we pray for a miracle. And then I started to tear up. And that poor woman, she was a bit taken back. It was perhaps more than what she bargained for while ringing up broccolini and pomegranates. So I felt a responsibility to take care of her a little, and I softened it. And so I started talking about how grateful I was for the rain. Writer Debbie Thomas, one of my favorites, writes an online publication called Journey with Jesus, and she describes Advent as an invitation that calls on us to say hello to here. And she writes, Advent is an invitation to yearn, because once you've named where we really are, we can't help but to yearn. When it's okay to say we're hungry or thirsty or lonely or empty or unfinished or unhoused, it's an invitation to yearn. Advent is an invitation to wait. Eugene Peterson called the Christian life a long obedience in the same direction, and I don't think we can get more countercultural than that. If the secular world speeds past darkness to the safe certainty of light, then Advent reminds us that necessary things, things worth waiting for, happen in the dark. Advent is an invitation to notice, she writes, to attend, to look at the fig tree, Jesus says. Look at all those trees. Advent is an invitation to imagine. In Advent, we're called to hope creatively, to hope against the grain, or as Barbara Brown Taylor puts it, we're called to trust that darkness does not come from a different place than the light. It's not presided over by a different God. With our imaginations, we can hold in tension the grief of our circumstances and the compassion of a Messiah who comes to save us. With our imaginations, we can take the long view even as we dwell concretely in the here and now. And then finally, she says, so how do we say hello to here? We begin by admitting that the rotten fruit of illusion rarely fills for long. Advent is an antidote to illusion. It cuts to the chase. It insists on the truth, and it lays us bare. Advent invites us to dwell richly in the here, precisely because here is where God dwells. End quote. That was a long quote. I don't usually give quotes that long, but when something is that good and was exactly what I was trying to say, I threw out half of what I wrote in order to read what she wrote. In our weekly meditation group on Thursday mornings, one of our participants said something that I believe is even better than our Advent theme, the one we have around Silent Night. She said, when she was a little girl, her mother would say to her, should you ever get lost in a store, just stay put and I'll find you. And I think there may be no better metaphor than that for what God is saying during Advent. Stay wherever you are, in the dark or not, and I will find you. I will find you in moments of joy, in deep breaths that pick you up, in the unexpected phone call, in the sense of calm that will come over you in panic. God will find you. Isaiah was a great prophet. He was writing during those prophetic words that you heard Terry read, poetry, really, at times. He was writing all during a very dark time, a time that he wasn't afraid to name. He wasn't afraid of the here. And like all prophets doing their job, they were more often than not called upon to speak a truth that hurt, saying things that people didn't necessarily want to hear, especially people in power like kings who wanted only to hear accolades and reassurances as kings considered themselves anointed by God. But Isaiah was doing something very different. I hear angels. It's okay. Isaiah is doing something so different. He's calling upon the people to learn from God, to learn God's ways, and writing from experiences of great destruction and war, Isaiah calls for nations to learn Torah, which is still new to them, and exchange war for peace. But for Isaiah, nations, people do this by bringing their need and their hurt and their ability to admit their own greed and their ability to grieve to God. So that's an ability to submit their will to God's will, which is one of peace that will resolve all conflict. Now, up to now, to bring grievances to God through worship for Isaiah came with an assumption that there was a gap between God and God's people. And then the priest or the prophet or the judge or the king would help to bridge that gap between God and God's people. But for Isaiah, the mediator is now God. And God is the one doing the mediation, resolving the divide, bridging the gap between nations, which requires the leaders of those nations to humbly and dutifully submit to God's will, which for Isaiah is one of peace. The sword is no longer lifted. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift sword up against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. So power is no longer found in weapons, but in these tools, these pruning hooks and these plowshares. They're tools that cultivate out of rocky soil to unearth from the land nourishment of olive and fig and grain and grape. And Isaiah understands our human capacity to create tools that harm or feed one another. So it's a prophecy of light out of darkness, of peace out of war, and it's done by cultivating with our own hands the will of God. So just like on that battlefield roughly 100 years ago, when those troops I spoke about earlier in the middle of World War I called for a truce, they held one. They laid down their weapons and they succumbed to a greater authority that lived in faith. They called for a truce long enough to sing, long enough to even to play ball. And here are some actual quotes from letters written by soldiers that were there. One writes, "The Germans started singing and lighting candles about 7:30 on Christmas Eve, and one of them challenged any one of us to go across for a bottle of wine. And one of our fellows accepted that challenge and took a big cake to exchange." And then another writes, "We had a church service and we sang hymns and we met the Germans midway between the trenches." Incidentally, those trenches, I didn't include this, Laura, in what I wrote, but those trenches were the place where the dead bodies lay. And they had to cross them in order to wish one another a Merry Christmas. My point in including that is not to be morbid. It's to illustrate again how peace and darkness live side by side, how grief and darkness and light and joy and sorrow and all of those things that cause us to say we're mixed rather than, oh, I'm great or I'm fine. Another letter, in a letter sent from the front on the 29th, December 1914, Staff Sergeant Clement Barker reports that during the truce, British soldiers went out and recovered 69 dead comrades in no man's land and buried them. And Sergeant Barker also reports that an impromptu football match then broke out between the two sides when a ball was kicked out from the British lines into no man's land. And another soldier writes about how the truce came to an end at 3 p.m. on Christmas Day when a German officer called in his men. And another writes, "A German soldier said to me, 'Today, Christmas Day, nice. Tomorrow, shoot.' And he left me and he held out his hand, which I accepted, and said, 'Farewell, comrade.' And with that, we parted." So how can we, as God's children called into a life of faith, cultivate peace within our own communities? Our closing hymn affirms that idea, that peace begins in here, with each one of us. Let peace begin with me. So if Advent is not for the faint of heart, let me suggest that we ask this question: how do we say hello to here? to this time of darkness? How do we pick up our plows and our pruning hooks and begin to cultivate within what we want to see around us? So perhaps on this first Sunday of Advent, we stay right where we are. We call a truce to all the ways we tell ourselves that we're not where we want to be, and instead accept that when we succumb over to God's will, we're exactly where we're supposed to be, and God will find us there. So stay right where you are, in stillness. Say hello to here, and stay put, because peace will find you. Stay put, God says, in the darkness, and I will come and find you. Amen.